Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider. On this episode, we will say goodbye, for now anyway, to MoviePass, review Hustlers and Unbelievable, and then demonstrate that we know a little about a lot of things, just enough to make us dangerous, with our fall TV preview. Let's get on with the show. Points if you know what TV series that quote was from. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today, my fellow host, John Davenport.
I don't know how to sit in this chair anymore, Aaron.
We forgot who you were, honestly. Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
And joining us from the Blacklist Exposed podcast is Troy Heinrichs.
It's the fall TV season. I forgot to do my spreadsheet, damn it.
Yeah, you usually do
seriously?
A spreadsheet. He usually does a spreadsheet.
Well, no, I know, but I'm saying seriously, you forgot?
I didn't forget. We'll talk about it in just a bit. That's called a tease.
Oh, dear.
It's only a terrible tease. Yeah, nobody cares. All right. So before we get there, yeah, there's like three people that I really wanted to hear more about the spreadsheet. Tell me more. All right. Let's pour out one for MoviePass real quick. And I want to say, while it's fun to laugh at Helios and Matheson, the company who bought MoviePass from venture capitalists and destroyed it, I also just want to say thank you because of them. We now have A-List and several other price options that theater chains nationwide. Everybody that's seeing a few movies a month at $20 or less or around that range, you can thank MoviePass as we say adieu.
Goodbye.
Should we be nervous, though, that those guys also did something with Netflix at one point in time? Or did they drive Netflix into the ground, too, potentially, with the OA getting canceled?
I don't think anybody cared about the OA, Troy, but nice try.
What?
Okay,
they told us 5 seasons, and Netflix was like, 5 seasons, go! And then they were like, no, sorry.
Well, it requires that people watch it.
Not even going to get a movie.
Because nobody watched it.
Sense8 got a movie.
Literally, yeah. You two are the only ones who watched the OA.
Because we're smart, right, John?
That's right. We like good and different television.
No, I want everything to be NCIS. That's really my goal.
Yeah, we know.
Spoiler alert for later, CBS.
Oh, boy.
That hurts.
Him with his old man pants up by his nipples.
Hey, get off my lot. Well, I'm sad that MoviePass is dead, but I'm glad that it's finally been put out of our misery because we've talked about it enough. And by the way, it should be noted that former MoviePass chairman Ted Farnsworth has submitted an offer to buy MoviePass because he still believes in it. There's still something I can work with here. So you never know. It could come back from the... It just could be a zombie.
It's not
that
going
seems
to.
Oddly incestuous.
I don't think that word means what you think it means.
That's uncomfortable.
Yeah. I feel offended. I'm triggered. Did you guys hear that J.J. Abrams will be working exclusively with Warner Media now? How about that? Does that get anybody excited since we're moving into television?
It does get me excited for Warner Media because they need somebody like J.J. Abrams making stuff for them because nobody else will.
I guess I'm confused because I thought he already worked with Warner Media. 112263, Warner Brothers, Castle Rock, Warner Brothers, Westworld, Warner Brothers. So what parts has changed?
Did you read it?
I did read it. So I'm guessing it's the fact that he won't be doing Star Wars and he won't be doing Star Trek because Disney and Paramount are basically out.
Correct. And he turned down a more lucrative offer from Apple because they wouldn't give him the ability to work with other companies. And he's like, no, I want to be able to do what I do and sell my TV shows to anybody and just get rich.
And Apple's greedy.
Or smart.
Or greedy.
They're all greedy.
But greedy.
Okay.
More greedy than AT&T that owns Warner Media, just saying.
Yeah, that's Troy's got a point there.
Yeah, but I don't think that I would still say that while they're greedy, they still are allowing creativity to bloom with their artists, where Apple is obviously not interested in allowing that to happen. So
wow, you
said state your source.
This article.
Ooh.
Aaron Peterson, who already mentioned that Apple
don't
did not
me
want
as your store. I'm anonymous. I'm anonymous. I'm not a source.
No, I'm not bringing anonymous into that. I'm not trying to get my life ruined.
She's stating the fact that there was a show that was already canceled by Apple TV Plus that dealt with two Vietnam veterans that ended up having they were shooters and they ended up shooting and killing people because of stuff. And Apple and the articles are saying like creative differences. But when you really think about it, at the end of the day, with all the mass shootings and stuff that are going on that are just recently in the news. What the
first of all, don't put words in my mouth. That's even, not what I'm saying.
I don't even understand what you're talking about. You're just like pulling that out of your ass. Like, sit that's down.
That's a real story in the news right
it
now.
It is a real story, but it's not at all what I was referencing. I was referencing what Aaron just said, which is that they wouldn't allow him to work with other companies, which makes them, that limits the artist's creativity and his ability to do what he wants to do in the work he wants to do.
We're going
to
limit Troy's ability to speak if he doesn't make more sense. Ludicrous.
I was referencing Amanda's hatred for Apple because they don't allow creativity.
They're limiting. Where are all the people talking about?
Well, I mean, we're going to talk about Apple in a little bit. I'm pretty sure Apple has some creativity coming.
They do. I'm just saying that I respect that even though both companies that he had an offer from, that Abrams had an offer from, were greedy companies, one of them allowed him to continue his creative process the way he wanted it to go.
What company isn't, their literal job is to be greedy.
I mean, yes.
Their exact mission statement is provide content and be greedy as, ooh. That's a bleep.
Okay, it sounded like you were maybe going to throw up.
No, or I'm underwater.
Who had the bigger Brinks truck at the end of the day? Let's be honest.
Truth.
No, that's not true.
That's not true. Warner Brothers was like, hey, we'll let you work with a couple other companies if you want. Here's some less money. And he said, I'll take that versus the dump truck of money that showed up at my house from Apple.
Exactly. So actually, Troy, what you just said is not true. JJ Abrams has.
So I can go home early. That's all.
JJ Abrams actually has some integrity, I would say. I mean, greedy, sure, he's greedy just like everybody else is that's in this industry, but he wanted some creative control. Remember, you guys can always find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Join our Facebook group or on Twitter at BuyPopcorn. Let's go to our fall TV preview. This used to be like the summer movie season where all big releases hit this time of year. With streaming and other avenues launching things all year long, would you still consider this to be the best TV season?
This is when all of the heavy hitters start to come out with the new shows. This is when all of our favorites tend to come back. So yes, I still think that this is the best TV season. Although summers are starting to become a rival with the streaming networks, I still think this is the best time for like our cable networks that are putting out TV shows, even though those are starting to become dim. But they're at least able to rival with our streaming network so far with the content they put out in the fall. So, yes, I would say that it's still up there.
I don't know, because I had a hard time when I was doing my research for this, for what was coming out and what we still have available to us. I was having a hard time finding things to get excited about. So, yeah, I would have to.
Really?
I don't know if it's because I'm a little overwhelmed by what's out there, or if it's more of a, there's just not a lot of things that tweak me or anything.
Well, we don't want to tweak you.
I believe the launch of the TV season officially died in 2019 this year. Reason being is this is the first year I did not make the famous Excel spreadsheet during the upfronts back in May. And I know you are all sad, but here's the thing. I didn't make the spreadsheet because I didn't care about a single show on the four major networks.
Even the Blacklist?
No, well, the Blacklist is returning. I'm talking about, like, I only watch the upfronts because it's pilot season and it's the new stuff. And literally anything that was new was like, don't care from the four networks. Everything is moving to streaming.
How much is that is because it's they're 22 episode shows, though?
Not a lot of them are 22 episodes. A lot of them are 13 or 10. Some of them might be a 16, like an 8-8 on a back half in March, and that's only if they get picked up for the back half. So, I mean, I know like The Resident doesn't do 22, a bunch of the returning ones, This Is Us doesn't do 22, Million Little Things didn't do 22 last year. So it's not, I don't think it's a 22. I think it's truly because the content is just regurgitated garbage that they can't take creativeness with it anymore. And I think we've been spoiled by what's been on the streaming services and the level of content that it is, where it's movie quality every week, that if it's not movie quality every week, it's who cares?
Well, let's back up because you were just wrong. The Resident actually had 23 episodes last season.
Last year? Really?
Yes, in the spring season.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't watch it. I watch it on Hulu, so I don't even know how many episodes it is. Hulu says there's another one. I just watch it on Hulu.
Yeah, so you've actually just succumbed to this whole process. You didn't even know about it, but that's how good that show is.
I just know there's a lot of Grey's Anatomy.
There is way too much Grey's Anatomy.
Way too much. Way too much. I'm going to say, yeah, fall's still where it's at. I mean, you get stuff throughout the year, but it's not like movies. It's not like where a lot of blockbusters are being spread out. You're getting a heavy dose of new shows still in the fall. Still. to me, that's very much exactly what Fall TV has always been. Now, is it spreading out to streaming shows? Sure, absolutely. And it should. But is there another season of the year where you feel like you're getting the same volume of new TV shows? Absolutely not. So this is still, to me, the right time for Fall TV. Fall TV is still the high point of television for the year.
That's if possible. My problem really is either a combination of being overwhelmed and two, there's just not enough things out there that are new that's exciting me.
I feel like this in particular, this fall season is a little bit lacking on the quality and quantity of the new shows that are coming.
Well, that's what Troy said.
Yeah, but I don't feel like that's been a reoccurring thing for years. And I don't think that this year is bad by any means. I still think there's a lot of great stuff that's coming.
A ton.
Yeah, there's just some of them happen to be on the streaming networks and some of them still happen to be here. But the streaming networks still understand that fall is an important time for television shows to launch. So they're still even kind of abiding by that with some of their shows.
This one's definitely different. Like 2019 fall is going to be different than any other fall TV season because Apple TV Plus launches, Disney Plus launches,
mm-hmm.
Netflix has to counter, Amazon has to counter. And so you have all of that going on. So it's just a lot of noise right now that I think the four broadcast networks are going to get lost in the shuffle.
Streaming wars 2019.
I mean, it is really at that time where networks have to, well, they're even doing streaming channels now. NBCU, they announced a bunch of shows. They're going to reboot apparently everything but ALF they've ever done. They're Battlestar Galactica, Saved by the Bell, because I was dying to know what those kids have been up to. What else? They're rebooting something else, too. The Punky Brewster.
Punky Brewster, yeah. They're taking Parks and Rec off Netflix and putting it on their streaming network. They're going to be taking Brooklyn Nine-Nine and putting that on their streaming service. I shouldn't say network earlier. I meant the streaming service. So they're taking all of these things and putting it onto their service.
Mm-hmm.
So RIP Netflix for some of those, because especially and Parks
Fox
and Rec.
Fox will be on some Disney stuff. I mean, because they're linked now, so you'll have some Fox stuff, I'm sure, going to Disney or Hulu.
I wonder how this is going
to
affect Hulu.
I don't know. I am confused as hell as to what this all means, but there's too many streams. We have the same problem we have with cable.
Well, because Hulu is supposed to incorporate the live TV aspect of that, supposed to be your like cable alternative. So for shows like Brooklyn Nine-Nine in particular, that's one that's part of NBC, and they already said they're going to be putting it on their streaming service. So does that mean new episodes launching aren't going to be on Hulu, or are they going to have a deal where they continue to have them on there?
I would guess so, because Hulu's owned by Disney.
But yeah, NBC, so
Brooklyn Nine-Nine will air on your local NBC affiliate live, just like you would watch it on your cable station because of the local NBC affiliate. But you probably won't get the next morning the ability to watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine on demand.
On Hulu.
On Hulu.
Right. That's what I'm
NBC's
thinking.
Service.
Right. So they're going to be taking it off of that. So Hulu is going to start to see Disney's obviously making up for it in some of their streaming service. Maybe. But I think Hulu is going to take a hit.
Hulu because, definitely will take a hit.
Yeah, because they're going to start to lose those cable shows.
I don't think so, because remember, Fox doesn't have a streaming service. So Hulu, Orville is a great example. So Orville literally made a deal because Fox didn't want to keep paying for it. So Orville is actually going to be a Hulu exclusive show, because Disney still wanted the Orville to be around. And so the way that they've done the Hulu agreement, I think it's for the next 3 years, is that Disney owns Hulu 100%, but Comcast's 1/3, in order for it to not be a monopoly because they'd have two streaming services. Comcast still has like creative license to put shows on the network. So there's like a backdoor for Comcast content to get in there. So you might still see NBC content on Hulu on demand because Comcast has that backdoor. Because those that don't know, Comcast owns NBC.
We'll see.
This just got messy.
I really don't. I'll be surprised if I see a lot of NBC stuff on Hulu, because I don't see why they would want to put it on a competitor.
Yeah, I don't know.
That makes no sense. No, that's a direct competitor if they're going to start their own streaming. We'll find out. I mean, we don't
know. They still got a year before that service launches, though.
Yeah, well, it's spring. So 6 months. Eight months.
Yeah. I mean, and that's when Brooklyn Nine-Nine is coming back. So I imagine that they're going to try to launch theirs on that platform.
Probably. And CBS already has a streaming service. Mm-hmm. ABC will probably be part of Disney/Hulu because they're owned by Disney. Disney is a monopoly, but they're not a monopoly.
Yeah.
Mm, interesting.
My guess is you'll probably see ABC Fox stay on Hulu.
Yep.
And Disney will be movie-based, new content, originals that are more on the family-friendly side, and then things like Handmaid's Tale and the book that's after The Handmaid's Tale that they just basically started writing
the darker
for another
stuff.
Hulu exclusive will be coming.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move into our most anticipated shows. And what we're going to do is we each have cultivated a list of at least three new shows that we're really excited about. We're going to give you the name, the date, a brief description, everything. So get a pen and a notebook handy if you want, just so you know what's coming out. This is we're each picking three, and we will have honorable mentions here. And then we'll talk a little bit about the returning shows and also shows that need to die already, as Troy likes to call it. Just go away. Ready?
Freddy.
Ready.
Okay, Troy, you start us off. What is one of your most anticipated new shows? Of-
just one. Okay. I have The Morning Show airing November 1st on Apple TV Plus for free. That's if you bought a new Apple device, shipping on Friday. Otherwise, it'll be $4.99 a month for the rest of you. Sorry, people that don't like the Apple stuff. The Morning Show explores the high-stakes world of morning news and the lives of the people who help America wake up in the morning. Told through the lens of two complicated women working to navigate the minefield of high-powered jobs while facing crises in both their personal and professional lives. The series is written by Carrie Aaron from Bates Motel and directed by The Leftovers, Helmer Mimi Letter. So I'm super excited. It stars Jennifer Aniston, Steve Carell, and Reese Witherspoon. It's going to be awesome. It gives me newsroom feel. And it gives me all kinds of fun stuff. I can't wait. Looks great.
Wow. That was something.
I'm not going to get the old Apple TV, so I'm probably never going to watch this.
Negative Ghost Rider.
But I like the talent involved. So I'm just going to say, good job, guys. I hope you have a success.
Gold star for you. Yeah.
Full report for the spring TV preview, and then you'll sign up for $5 a month.
Nope.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
That's going to be a hard pass.
Not when you have Disney, man.
No, I got to tell you, man, I've seen the Apple offerings. Jason Momoa's show looks good, which somebody's going to talk about. And then this show looks solid, too. Nothing there says I need to invest $5 a month, though. Nothing. So I'm just not on board yet. But Apple lovers, I mean, if you're going to buy a device and you get it free for a year, I think that's actually a pretty cool tie-in. So, and I assume it applies for phones, Apple TV, any Apple device, right?
Any Apple device that just came out at the, whatever it was, the Apple event last week. You buy one of those, Apple TV for free for a year.
And they also lowered their prices on the iPhones. So the new iPhone is like $600. So if you bought the iPhone, 11 or whatever,
tying it
before,
all together,
it was $1,000. Now you're saving some money by buying a new phone and you get the service included. What a bargain.
What a deal. You heard the excitement in my voice. What a deal.
Hey, Mimi Letter runs a great show. So if you got star power and you got Mimi Letter behind it, I'm in.
That's great.
I get it for free, so that's why I'm watching it.
For $5 a month, though, I need more than a Mimi Letter. I just do. John, what's your first most anticipated new show?
All right, so my first new show I want to bring up, in some undetermined date in December, Netflix is going to launch Witcher. This is created by Lauren Schmidt, who's brought us such things that we love, like The Umbrella Academy, The Defenders, Power, Parenthood, Private Practice. She's done a lot of things. This is going to star Henry Cavill, Freya Allen, and this is going to be following the story of Geralt of Rivia, a solitary monster hunter who struggles to find his place in the world where people often prove more wicked than beasts. People know this more commonly right now because of the video game, but this story is actually going to follow the books that the video game is based off of closer. So I really can't wait to see something that has some nice graphics to it, some imagery, and a nice sword and sorcery kind of story. I'm all for that right now.
I think that one looks great. I've been excited since the trailer.
I just want, I feel like it looks good. Mm-hmm. It looks really cool. I want like a fun monster show. Henry Cavill, though, or Cavill, or Cavill, I don't know. I've heard it always.
Hashtag not my Superman.
Oh,
he's definitely
definitely my Superman.
Definitely my Superman. I just need to see more of what his character does, because right now all I've seen him do is scowl, and I really don't know enough about the books, but I've heard great things about the books. He's super excited. I've heard a rumor that this has already been renewed for two more seasons. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's a rumor I heard.
Well, it's Netflix, right?
Yeah, so you only get
everybody,
three.
Everybody gets three seasons, and they cancel you.
Three now!
Unless you're the OA.
Oh, it's so sad. You guys are so sad about your show that only you watch.
I'm going to pour out one for the OA right now.
Are you still drinking?
Pour it all over the movie pass.
Yes, please do that.
Amanda, what do you get? First
one. Cut it up. Looking for Alaska is coming to Hulu on October 18th. This is based off of book, and it follows Miles Halter, who is now done with his safe life at home. His whole life has been one big non-event, and his obsession with famous last words has only made him crave the great perhaps even more. So he heads off to do something crazy in anything but boring world of Culver Creek boarding school, and his life becomes the opposite of safe, because down the hall is Alaska Young, the gorgeous, clever, funny, sexy, self-destructive, screwed up, and utterly fascinating Alaska Young. She
that
is
sounds like my kind of girl.
Damaged.
She's definitely an event, and she pulls Pudge into her world, launching
Pudge?
Him. That's his last name. Or okay. His first name. Well, his nickname. Like that's, Miles
it's
Pudge.
A bad nickname.
Yeah. Well, not everything's great.
Okay.
So she pulls him into her world and launches him into the great, perhaps, and steals his heart. And then nothing is ever the same. So it's one of those young adult.
Is it
angsty
a love story,
yes. But it's about this guy who just becomes so obsessed in with this young woman, and he finally is released from his life where everything was so still and safe and boring, and now he's enjoying way too much the instability of this young girl.
Hmm. So he's not looking for a continent.
I think you mean a state.
Well, state. I'm sorry. Yeah, whatever. Because I thought it was like a geography show or something.
No.
I'm like, well, this is interesting. And now I'm less interested. I was really excited about a geography show. Like, how do we find Alaska? Let's take some trails and see some mountains and see the countryside. Nope. We're just looking for some lady.
I'm just confused because last time I was here, Amanda had this like complete rant about how she was never going to watch Hulu again because Disney can suck it and she only pledges loyalty to the Big N. And her first recommendation is a Hulu show.
Yeah, well, times are changing, my friend. Look, Hulu has my heart right now so far. They still have a lot of shows that I watch on there, so I'm on there a lot.
So basically, you're not committed to any real stance.
I really didn't want to support Disney. And look, to be fair, when I said I was anti-Disney and I wasn't going to support it, that's before I knew that Hulu and Disney were affiliated together. And then you guys broke that down for me and I was like, well, you know what? I've already been supporting it. And
you sure have.
I don't even pay for the account. So let's be fair. Like, it's not that big of a deal. I'm not paying for it. So I get
Netflix is your love and Hulu is your honorable mention. It fits the MO. We're good.
All right, my first one is Emergence on ABC on September 24th. A local Long Island police chief who takes in a child after an accident of which she has no recollection seems to find out that she might be a little special. And I don't mean that she's talented. I mean she might be an alien or something. We don't know. It's weird. It stars Alison Tallman, who is in Fargo, and she is great. I will watch anything she does. This has a very X-Files-ish, family drama-ish vibe. So I'm on board. I want to know what the secret is. The only downside is it's ABC. That means it's probably going to be a lot more episodes than I want to keep up with. I really struggle with that anymore. Really do. I don't want more than 13 episodes of any show. So that's where I get nervous.
Yeah. I mean, that I saw the preview of that one. That one actually looks like a lot of fun. And the whole X-Files side of it makes me even more interested in it.
Troy, what's your second one?
My second one is also on the Giant Fruit Company's Box of Awesome. It is called Sea with Jason Momoa. And I think this is going to be great because it's like a future dystopian cross with high fantasy series. And in that dystopian future, the human race has lost the sense of sight. And society has to find new ways to interact, build, hunt, and survive. It's actually the better version of Bird Box. And all of that is challenged when a set of twins is actually born with the gift of sight, the ability to see. And it stars Alfre Woodward as well and directed by I Am Legend's director, Francis Lawrence. So I think this is going to be pretty good. Definitely better than Britannia.
I could make this one episode. One episode. I just watched Deuce Bigelow. Male gigolo for the show. And we learned in that movie that you can hump the blind out of someone.
You can. This is
well,
something
in the trailer. There's like a witch lady that's like, bring me the babies. So maybe that's the case. She humped somebody to make the babies. I don't know.
That's very possible.
Well, that's usually how you make babies is humping. So that's fair.
This is like biology class. I don't
see. Getting really weird all of a sudden.
C sounds interesting. I would say it sounds interesting, but it's still not enough for $5. Yeah, it's not enough for $5. I'll wait for Aquaman too.
Mm.
aren't we? I just want to see Momoa can carry a show versus be like the side actor.
He can.
Frontier, he carried that one pretty okay.
Oh, that's true.
He was great in Game of Thrones.
Red Road.
Yeah, but Game of Thrones, he's like a main actor, right?
Well, he was main of Aquaman. He carried that. Just mine.
On his back.
There was also, I believe it's called Red Road, which is another show that was on Netflix and originally from someplace else where he kind of carried that one pretty well, too.
Never heard of that one.
John, you are a big fan of the Momoa.
Who isn't?
Yeah. Don't try to call me out like that.
It's not like it's a bad thing. It's good not. For you, John. Take, good job.
Take pride in that, man.
All right. Well, John, what's your number two? What do you got?
My number two is Stumptown. This is ABC to September 25th. A sharp-witted Army veteran becomes a private investigator in Portland, Oregon, where she takes care of her brother. This is created by Greg Rucka, who does a lot of actual DC animated stuff, so it's nice to see him do something different. Stars Colby Smulders, Jake Johnson, and I am thrilled. I love Colby Smulders. I want to see her do something like this. Jake Johnson can get me to watch just about anything, and it just seems like it's going to be a fun show. I will give it my 3-episode rule.
I think it looks good, and I do like her as well.
I think she's playing the same character from Jack Reacher. Never.
I was gonna say that, yep. But then I was like, I'm already talking way too long.
She's like, I'm way too launch. You mean long?
Two words got slammed together and became launch.
Earlier you said imagey, and I thought that was pretty cool, but now we've got
right.
He's creating his own words, okay?
Look, I am still a little beer-addled from my vacation. It's okay.
Yeah,
I'm just creating stuff as I go along.
That was a lot of booze. Every time I saw anything on Facebook from where he was, it was drinking.
And then when he got back, he's like, man, I sure miss drinking. Those good times.
I started answering you back in pictures of me drinking.
Yep, that's true.
My second one is Watchmen on HBO, coming out October 20th. It comes from Damon Lindelof. If you remember that fella from Lost, how could you forget? Oh, you guys have some rivalry here on opinions, don't you?
I don't like them.
And Troy, you do?
I love them.
Yeah, I like this.
It'll be great. You're going to love this show until you get to the very end. It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Well, the series takes place in an alternate contemporary reality in the United States in which superheroes and masked vigilantes were outlawed due to their violent methods, but some of them gather around to start a revolution while others attempt to stop it. Now, it's supposed to be kind of loosely taken from the original content, but it's not going to be a direct adaptation, so don't expect the original to
like
flow
into this.
It feels
like a sequel.
Yeah, my understanding is a continuation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a direct adaptation, though, they've said. So,
yeah. Well, it wouldn't be an adaptation if it's a continuation. Those are different words.
Well, that's not how they approached it in a statement that was on Instagram from Lindelof. So,
fight.
I can pull it up for you if you want.
Nobody gives a shit.
Okay.
Here's what I would say.
Let's just say that.
I love the comic. I think the comic is great. So, if they stay true to form of the intention and the vibe of the comic, I'm all for it. Damon Lindelof is not a guy I would trust to run a show. He loves to ask questions. He has no intention of answering.
Is he listed as the showrunner?
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's his show.
Yeah, he is.
That'd be interesting, because Damon was the writer on Lost, and Carlton Cuse was really the day-to-day showrunner.
No, they started working. They were partners by the end. But
yeah,
I was going to say Lindelof is listed as the showrunner and co-creator.
Prometheus, another example of how he can't end something well. He's just not a strong. He's not a closer.
He's just channeling his inner Stephen King. That's all.
Does he get coffee?
Coffees are for closers. That's what I was thinking too, Johnny.
Nice job. That was such a self-congratulating laugh. It's just really uncomfortable.
It really was.
All right, my next one is Evil. CBS. Yeah, I'm recommending a CBS show. September 26th, about a priest in training, played by Luke Cage's Mike Coulter, who enlists a psychologist, played by Westworld's Katya Herbers, to join him in investigating cases of possession and other supernatural cases, trying to separate scientific facts from paranormal fiction. And looking into it, it seems like they're going to try to take a philosophical approach. So again, reminiscent of X-Files in a way, but they're really trying to hone in on the philosophical differences and different cases and how to discuss things in a more open forum. I think that's fascinating to me.
Sounds a little like Sleepy Hollow.
No, this sounds good.
The preview for this looks really great, and I got really excited to see this. So that's something I'll be trying to figure out how to watch, because I don't want to do CBS thing and it'll be somewhere out there. I don't know.
Why don't we all just share that account?
This is actually on television.
But we can share it to access it. Streaming.
But I don't have cable.
Right.
Oh.
So I'll give you the tip, John. This is a tip for everybody. Because when you sign up for a streaming service, if you have a Gmail account, you can use the plus concept. If you ever tried that, where you can do your email plus something. And it all goes into your same email account. So when you want to sign up for CBS in January, you just do Johnny plus CBS January at gmail.com. Then you have Johnny plus CBS February at gmail.com. And you get free months every email address you sign up.
How have you been rigging the system for years and you've never decided to share this information with us?
I do not condone this.
Yeah.
It's perfectly legal. It is a Gmail sanctioned email address. If CBS can't figure it out to block it, that's on CBS.
If you can't figure out my illegal activity is illegal, that's your problem.
No, it's not illegal. It's a trial. I mean, they let you sign up.
It's a free trial for that email address.
Yeah, I don't want to give them my money, but I also don't want to steal money. It's just that they're steal their products. So,
well, they still get money off of the views, I would imagine.
No, they don't.
It can't be based off of how many signups.
A trial is ad free, so technically, no, they're not getting any money. They're trying to entice you to pay to stay.
But they're not going to not pay the creators.
So now
for
we're
not
trying to
views.
Justify robbery. That's what we're. Yeah, that's the way I'm understanding this.
I'm not doing it.
I'm not either, John. I'm with you.
Technically, the things you're trying to watch, like this show, comes over the air for free. Therefore, why should I have to pay to see the show on CBS All Access?
But if it comes over the air, you still have to watch it over the air with commercials, even if you have an HD antenna. So you're still going to watch commercials with it. Ergo, you're paying for it by watching the commercials.
Exactly.
I just close my eyes and plug my ears for 4.5 minutes.
So I don't have that kind of time.
We're
in my life.
Once again, justifying robbery. All right, let's move on to the next one, Troy.
Next one is also on HBO. It is His Dark Materials, based on the Philip Pullman book trilogy. It'll premiere on BBC One November 3rd in the UK, and then HBO will have it worldwide everywhere else on November 4th. It's set in an alternative world where all humans have animal companions called daemons, which are the manifestation of the human soul. The series will follow the life of young Lyra, who is played by Daphne Keene from Logan. It's an orphan living with the tutors at Jordan College in Oxford. As in Pullman's novel, Lyra discovers a dangerous secret that involves Lord Asriel, played by James McAvoy, and Marissa Coulter, who's played by Ruth Wilson. In her search for her missing friend, Lyra also uncovers a slew of kidnappings, and it's linked to the mysterious substance called dust. Now, the difference between this and Pullman's books is that director Otto Bathurst is that given it a little bit more modern feel versus the original Victorian fantasy that the books are set in previously. And I think it's going to be awesome. And because I'm an AT&T subscriber, I get HBO for free.
Also, everybody in the book is a dick. Everybody.
I like
everybody.
That summary.
Everybody?
Everybody in the book is a dick.
Except for Lyra.
Well, except for Lyra, and it's also pronounced demon. But every character, her uncle threatens to break her arm for being a kid. It's just everyone in the book is a dick for some reason. They're just harsh and scary and weird.
Wait. How do you know it's pronounced demon instead of Damon?
Because I listened to the book.
Troy, if you argue with everything, I'm going to disconnect you.
Okay. It's over to you,
John. Is everything
Johnny?
On this call? Everything? Are you there?
Yes, Troy. My final pick for my brand new stuff that's coming out this year is Limetown. It's going to be on Facebook Watch October 16th. It's based off the podcast of the same name, which follows Leah Haddock, a journalist from the American Public Radio Service, as she unravels the mystery behind a disappearance of over 300 people in a neuroscience research facility in Tennessee. And this looks really good. The actual creators from the podcast are actually involved, and it stars Jessica Biel. I'm excited because I love the podcast. I really would love to see how they handle this.
This is the Facebook Watch show, so I'm curious why you specifically, you don't like any attachments. Why Facebook Watch is something you want to join up with?
Well, I'm not sure there's any attachment involved beyond my Facebook account. Like I've tried to do some reading on it. It's not like something I have to pay for, right?
No, it isn't. But you know, they're probably doing some algorithm behind the scenes where they're tracking down everything you ever spent money on or done.
They're already doing that
now.
That's
true.
So They're already making their money off of me. I'm sure that this is going to be just like any other Facebook Watch video where it's commercial after commercial after commercial every like 3 seconds. And if it's like that, this may not survive more than an episode watch for me. But I like the concept of the show. I like the podcast a lot. I like the people involved and Jessica Biel.
So Facebook Watch is going to be much like YouTube, where you have the premium content where you can watch it ad-free, but then otherwise it's going to run ads periodically throughout the episode. Hopefully it's not as bad as YouTube, because YouTube like redid their ad structure, and now it is awful when you try to watch stuff like that where you have the ads, because they have so many based off like, I think it's based off time or something, but it's just really annoying. So
Facebook's ads are awful when you're trying to watch a video, yep, because they come up right in the. It's always when you really enjoy it. Like, I'm into it. What is this? Why do I want to?
I skip past it. I don't. I
don't have menopause.
Intentionally move past the video I was watching, and don't go back 100%. To it.
Any of those commercials on the Facebook Watch makes me want to click and close the window. So it's hard for me to want to do that. Want to stick around for it, but I like this property that much.
That's fair. Well, my last one is Living for Yourself, which comes to Netflix on October 29th. This is the Paul Rudd show, where he plays a man who is burned out on life and love and undergoes a mysterious treatment, only to discover that he has been replaced by a better version of himself. So he has to live in that life of, wow, this guy's so much cooler than me, and he's really great with my lady. Oh, wait, that's me.
There's a better version of Paul Rudd out there?
No, but in the show, apparently there is.
I don't agree with this show. I don't like it. It's a bad concept. Can't buy it.
That would be actually my worst nightmare, to find out I was replaced by me.
Right? That's what I was thinking when I watched the trailer. I was like, this is a nightmare.
I've tried to replace
this
you.
This is...
for...
Oh, boy.
Oh, sorry.
Was You're that... so rude.
I didn't know this was public.
What's the difference between this and Multiplicity, or that new Will Smith show that's coming?
That it doesn't have Paul Rudd?
Gemini
this
Man?
This does?
Multiplicity was he purposely made copies of himself so that he can go do whatever he felt like it while his copies lived life a little bit differently. This is something where he thinks he's just having his DNA rewritten and this is more like
it's more like the
Prestige
movie.
No, I'm thinking for the Prestige.
Okay.
The end of that.
Okay.
Is it
I'm not going to ruin that movie for anyone who hasn't seen it yet.
Is it more a it's not a very good movie. Is it a comedy or... Yeah, I said it. Is there
a great movie.
Well, we'll agree to disagree that you're wrong. Do you...
I'm not going
to
argue with you.
Is it a... Well, it's the first time...
You just time, did. By yeah. replying, you innately actually, yeah, argued.
All right, it's been fun. See you guys.
Amanda.
He just wants out at this point.
Is it more a comedy or drama?
It looks like it's a combination. Paul Rudd brings an extra light to everything that he does. True. And has his own level of comedy. But the show itself looks to be more of...
They're taking a serious look
at
it.
A more serious take on it. So it's not like... There are moments that are like, whoa, and this is very creepy. And like they think... in the trailer, he thinks that somebody's breaking into his house. And then he goes to fight the person. And he looks at it and he's like, oh my God, this is me. Like, what the hell? So it all becomes... It starts to unravel and...
And he doesn't go to a therapist immediately? That's what I would do.
No. But they have like these interactions, and I'm sure at some point they'll come to like a consensus of like, okay, let's try to figure out how we're going to live our lives together. But I'm not 100% sure in what direction they plan on taking this. Obviously, it doesn't say or indicate from the trailer, just these two characters. Hmm. One is better and one is the regular self that he was trying to improve.
One is regular strength and one is extra.
Yeah.
I like it. That's mm-hmm. interesting. My last one, and this, I got to tell you. I'm not as excited about it as the internet seems to be, but The Mandalorian on Disney Plus, November 12th. After the stories of Jango and Boba Fett, another warrior emerges in the Star Wars universe. The Mandalorian is set up after the fall of the Empire and before the emergence of the First Order. We follow the travels of a lone gunfighter in the outer reaches of the galaxy, far from the authority of the New Republic. It feels very Westernish in a way. Jon Favreau is the showrunner. Pedro Pascal is the Mandalorian. You might remember him as Oberyn from Game of Thrones. By the way, I really hope he doesn't talk a lot while he's fighting in this show, because that never ends well for him. This is one of those shows where I would not get Disney Plus just for this, but it is probably, of all the stuff they've already announced, it's the one I'm most excited about.
Also, Taika Waititi is going to be acting, So that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, yes, but not enough to get me to sign up for a show.
I don't think I'm going to watch more than an episode.
What if you love it?
I think this is a great idea.
Well, you're a Star Wars fanatic.
Well, no, because of where they put it in the timeline. Because originally we thought this was going to be before episode 4. Now that we know it's between 6 and 7, depending on how the timeline works itself out in the show, and because of where it's situated in the universe, you could actually have Mandalorian wrappage with Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Since Galaxy's Edge technically
don't know what any of that is. I mean, they here's what we got to have. We got it. We're not doing the extended universe. We're not doing all the extra stuff. And people don't know what a lot of that stuff is. So they have to explain that. They really do. So people can't get excited about that when most people don't really understand what that is.
That's why standalone movies didn't work from their original plan, and why they had to move them to television, because the television gives you the 10 to 13 episodes you need.
Who said the standalone movies didn't work?
Rogue One was good. Solo was panned.
Rogue One was a huge success. Solo was a middling success. Like, it wasn't a hit, but Rogue One was a huge monster hit. So it's not like the standalone movies haven't worked.
Then why aren't they making any more of them?
They are making more of them. They just dialed it back, and they're like, well, let's take another look, because Solo was too rushed, and it was seen as too, I don't know. I don't know what the problem with that one was. A lot of it was released.
Convenient that the Boba Fett movie is now a Boba Fett-ish TV show, and the Obi-Wan movie is now an Obi-Wan TV show.
Yeah.
So clearly they have
nobody needs a Boba Fett TV show, because he's a bullshit character who dies by a stick by a blind man.
He doesn't like Boba Fett.
But his race, the Mandalorians, are actually very interesting. And I think with 10 episodes, you can actually explore what that race is all about versus a 90-minute movie.
It looks really cool. I'll give you that. But there's nothing. The story of it does not get me super excited like any of the Star Wars movies have. And I feel like this is just going to get super drawn out. And it's just another way for Disney to profit off of the Star Wars name. Again,
is this where you get into your whole Disney, I don't like Disney thing?
No. I'm just saying, like, this just, to me, this product feels like this, how are we going to continue to make more money off of Star Wars in the meantime?
It doesn't. Greedy. They're all greedy.
They are. Disney definitely is.
Do you
is.
Blame them? They're trying to launch a service. People love Star Wars. This is so, and Jon Favreau, I mean, his name alone is getting me, sold me.
That, I mean, yeah, I'm not saying that I'm not going to watch this. I'm not saying that I have zero interest in it. I'm just saying that beyond the appearance of the trailer, I'm not super excited for it. There's not much in there that's like, man, I have to watch this, the way all of the standalone movies and the other movies have been like, I have to watch this. Because it's a TV show. And I just don't, for me, Star Wars doesn't need to be TV.
Let's ask an honest question here. Could all this TV stuff, Obi-Wan, they're talking Darth Maul, they're talking a Solo spinoff, they're talking, couldn't this really dilute what people are already saying is getting diluted? The Star Wars brand?
Yes.
Well, who's saying that the Star Wars brand is getting diluted?
The public.
Die hard Star Wars people, right? Mm-hmm. The people that are pissed off that their expanded universe was removed.
No. It's general public.
I feel attacked, by the way.
You got to take the expanded universe out of it, because I keep hearing this, but I don't hear from anyone that I talk to, because most people I know that are Star Wars fans don't really know that universe. That's really just the diehard fans that know it. I hear people that are saying it's diluted that don't know jack about Boba Fett's lineage or anything else. They just know Boba Fett fell in the pit because he's a moron.
Yes, he is a moron.
Granted. So don't you think in something that's already considered kind of diluted, you know, by the time Solo came out, people are like, wow, that's a step too far. We don't need a Han Solo movie. Don't you think by putting out more TV shows, several TV shows, plus continued movies, we've got three trilogies supposedly on the way, or two trilogies on the way, and the Skywalker saga being completed. Isn't that too much? Or do you feel like it's okay? I don't know if it's the same thing as Marvel. Marvel has this huge closet full of characters, where Star Wars doesn't seem to have any outside whatever came around in the original trilogy.
Well, that's just yes and no, because the reason why you got to remember, everyone who got into Marvel in the last 10 years only got into Marvel because of the fact that the movies were out there. Like, comics, the movies helped make the comic industry so much cooler than it was 10 years ago. And you're saying that not a lot of people knew that much about the expanded universe. Well, in the same sense, the comic books, there's a lot of people who are diehard fans of the expanded universes who can tell you a whole cavalcade of characters that they could have brought out of the books and comic books that they should have already used by now. And that is evidenced by when people got excited that Grand Admiral Thrawn was being used in one of the cartoon series. When they brought out Thrawn, which is a character created by Timothy Zahn, I'm sorry, and you have Thrawn, who's a phenomenal character as far as a bad guy goes in the Star Wars universe, and he's different because you have the Empire, which becomes, as it goes forward, very xenophobic, and they really only center around humans. Then you get this character, Grand Admiral Thrawn, who is a Chiss character, who's a blue-skinned alien with red eyes, but he turns out to be the best tactician that the Empire has to offer. These are all things that Disney is kind of forgetting that they did with Marvel. They brought out these characters that maybe a smaller percentage of people only had a passing familiarity with because of cartoons growing up, or the pictures in the stores because they would walk by and see it, or they would hear stories from their friends or whatever. They only had a passing familiarity with the Marvel characters, and they decided to make them the center of a universe in which they didn't have all the big time characters that everyone loved. They didn't have the X-Men. They didn't have Spider-Man, but yet they still made something that was better than both those worlds. Sorry, I'll get off that soapbox.
No, you're totally right, because Rebels is great. Resistance is great. Clone Wars was the TV show. Clone Wars was okay. The movie was terrible, but you had really great series that were geared towards kids. Why can't you do those same series now and gear them towards adults?
But haven't they said they're not going to do that?
No, they have. They have said they're not going to do that. They're all that, and the part of the reason why is because those characters that were created in a lot of the expanded universes were not. I think it has something to do with a contractual obligation to a lot of the writers who created those characters.
Right. So what my point is, people keep bringing that up, but it's not relevant. So let's let that go. Because it doesn't matter. So they only seem to be using characters that are connected to characters we already know. That's why it's getting diluted. Right. Marvel is using, hey, I'm with you. If they, I don't even know the universe, but if they want to go pull from it and they bring new characters and it's new stories about Star Wars, that's great. All I'm hearing so far is
backstories.
Backstories, origin stories, connections to other stories that are already pre-existing. There's nothing new here. There's nothing fresh. There's nothing that isn't already connected to somebody in the original saga. And that's going to continue to dilute the brand, in my opinion.
I agree.
I would agree with you by that.
But you need to do that smartly, because if you're saying that you're going to completely get rid of the expanded universe, which they did because of the contractual obligations, you need an anchor point to launch something new. So because you had Solo, who is basically launching off of a familiar name, people want the Kira Darth Maul extension of that show. People,
I don't think,
are clamoring
they do
for that.
I don't, clamoring, really? The movie was a floppo. I mean, it was a middling floppo.
You saw Darth Maul with robotic legs and everybody went, oh my gosh, that's awesome, keep going.
No, it was one of those moments where you're like, oh, that's cool, and that's it, and that's literally it. Clamoring implies on the internet there's a giant cavalcade of people screaming for this, and that is not the case. It's just not happening. I'm just saying it's diluting the brand. I'm concerned that they're going to dilute the brand, and I love Star Wars, and I feel like you're making me tired of Star Wars, and that's just not a good thing. But I'm excited about this, because this is right up my alley. It reminds me of Firefly in many ways, and Lone Gum. I just love stuff where you have the rogue guy going around and bounty hunter and shooting people randomly. That's my kind of show. I'm excited about that.
And it's got Werner Herzog in it, so yeah.
So if the Star Wars name was not on it, it was just called The Mandalorian, would you watch it?
Yes, more so, actually. I'd probably be more excited about it, because I wouldn't feel like I'm getting it diluted. Because I'm just worried you're going to have a whole bunch of connections to Boba Fett that I just don't care about. Because I'm with John. Boba Fett is probably the most overrated character in Star Wars.
But see, that's expectations.
No, that's a personal opinion. I think it's the most overrated character in all of Star Wars. And
no, he's saying you're expecting there to be some sort of connection to Boba Fett, and we're not sure that's actually the case.
True, but they're painting it that way, are they not? I mean, by connecting it to Boba Fett, that isn't. I'm hoping I'm very wrong. I'd really, if they
he's
only
mention
him,
just from the same,
passing,
same race. I think that's all they're saying. It's the same race.
I hope that's the case.
Or it's not even a race, right? It's a style of bounty hunter.
Well, it's no, it's a, the Mandalorian is the armor itself, and the people who created the armor were from Mandalore, right, which is a planet. The armor that Boba Fett was actually wearing was a stolen set, so he wasn't even from Mandalore.
Correct.
So there. Don't make me pull my Star Wars knowledge out on you now.
I was going to say, I feel like you are just like a walking encyclopedia for Star Wars. Bunch, man. You've gone on like so many different tirades and schooled everybody that's even listening on Star Wars.
I get so upset because I know so too much about Star Wars, and I've actually tried to forget some of this stuff at this point. And like, I have my Star Wars tattoo that I want to get covered up now. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of feelings I'm having.
You should go to a trivia night and win a bunch of money.
Been there, done that.
All right, Troy, any honorable mentions you got here?
Just because I'm here and Aaron's here, I will mention I Land on Netflix. Mm. Lost crashes into Hunger Games, basically. It's the next one.
That's not a fault. I mean,
well, it is. It still counts.
I'll let you know. Hollywood Reporter called it, I think it was Hollywood Reporter, called it one of the worst shows on television.
It was pretty bad.
So that's an honorable mention.
Why are you excited about it?
Because I just want to see what they do and where it goes. Because it's like, I watch the pilot and I'm like, okay, I get where the pilot's going. So I'll watch a couple more just to see what's going to happen.
You're a sad individual.
It is now streaming on Netflix, and I don't watch anything on Netflix, and it recommended it. So I'm going to see if the Netflix engine actually works.
Aren't you the one who gave me a bunch of crap last year for checking out the pilot of that new TV show where the plane crashed and they all couldn't like...
Manifest?
They went, yeah. Manifest. I feel like I got a bunch of crap for you for watching that, but here you are watching a TV show that doesn't even have like any acclaim to it.
I
other than it's
Manifest until the mid-season, and then the story got stupid.
Yeah, but you still gave me
crap.
Hey,
look,
for
Troy
it.
Can bend a little. You should learn how to bend a little. Well, it happens.
I bend. I'm bendy.
Let me tell you, Jen, neither one of them ever bend. So continue, Troy. What else you got?
That's right.
I've been on the show a while, I know.
The other one that actually looks really, really, really interesting is another Ryan Murphy production called The Politician on Netflix. It's basically Glee meets Ugly Betty with a dash of Election. I think it looks awesome. It looks funny. It looks great. Aaron will probably like it because it's got a little Scream Queens to it as well. So I think it has potential.
I'm curious.
And Gwyneth Paltrow's in it, so.
I'm less curious now.
Yeah, that's one of the few times I'm going to say a hard pass on a Netflix show.
Any other honorable mentions, Troy?
She wants to kill her kid, so I think that makes it interesting.
Well, she's the parent. Is there anything else, Troy, you want to mention?
Nope, everything else, everybody else already has on their lists. So,
all right, Johnny, you got any honorable mentions?
I don't, actually.
All right, Amanda?
I have one, and it's just because it looks really weird. It's called Almost Family. Did you guys watch the trailer for this or hear anything about it yet?
Mm-mm.
So basically, there's this girl, this woman, and she finds out
that... Well, is it a girl or a woman?
She's a woman. It's Brittany Snow. She finds out that her father, who she's very close with and has been working beside him, you know, with his career over years, because he's like an OBG.
Is this the 100 relative one?
This, I don't know. Okay, this is the one where like he's impregnated a bunch of women.
Like 100 kids or something like that.
Yeah. It's really weird. But it's not like he wasn't like assaulting women. He was trying to help them get pregnant. And so there was like a huge period of infertility and these women couldn't get pregnant. So to help his business kind of boom, he used his own sperm to help them get pregnant.
Like you do.
It's real weird. I was like, I'm not gonna watch a show with Brittany Snow in it. Like, no offense, I like her in movies as like a side character, but as a main lead role, this just did not seem great. And then I watched the story of just how weird it gets and how many women that he actually got pregnant, and because of how weird it is, now I'm a little interested.
Is it based on a true story?
I hope not.
Okay.
But
it's a weird story to come up with. Somebody's sitting around going, I got an idea. Guy knocks up 100 ladies. All right, Jim. Good pitch.
But they end up bonding as sisters. So I was like, oh, this is going to be a cool little drama, but like family attached, like story kind of thing.
His
moment.
Child support payments are going to suck.
Well, they're all adult women. Can you claim child support after they're adult women?
I don't know what the rules are, but that's going to be interesting.
Talk about Christmas, though. That man is going to spend a lot on presents to make up for it.
Just give everybody Thanksgiving. A $5 gift card.
You get $5 and you get $5.
Go to Subway. Have a good time. Love you, person. He's because everybody's going to have a barcode. Because how else are you going to know what they are? And just scan them as they come in the door.
Thanks for visiting 54389.
That's what I'd call them. Welcome aboard. All right, any other words, Amanda?
That was it.
Well, I'll honorable mention the hell out of this. So, Prodigal Son, Fox, 9/23. Already watched the pilot. It's actually, well, it was only available this past weekend, but they actually premiered the pilot early. It's good. It's if Hannibal Lecter was your dad. That's essentially what the synopsis is.
I wonder why you like that show.
Yeah, right? It benefits from having Michael Sheen as the incarcerated killer and Tom Payne, who played Jesus on The Walking Dead, is his son, and he's now a disgraced FBI agent. He's kind of been fired. Now he's working as a profiler with Lou Diamond Phillips, who I love basically every actor involved. The pilot, I will say, is good. It's not great. It's a great idea. I'm curious where they're going to go with it. It's on Fox. You never know if it's going to last long because it's on Fox, but I'm curious, and it's an interesting dynamic, and it really feels like his dad is willing to work with him as long as it means that he's going to be in his life. So he's trying, but you can tell his dad is a serious psychopath. There's more to the story we don't know. And his son is kind of battling his own urges. So maybe he's fighting his own need to kill. He has night tremors. He has sleep terrors. He's got a lot of things going on himself. Really good first episode.
I've heard good things about that episode.
Mm-hmm. And Criminal is on Netflix on 9/20. Listen up, John, because it's on Netflix, so you'll probably watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Cat and mouse drama focuses on the intense mental conflict between detectives and suspects. It's basically 12 stories set in 4 different countries. Each one takes place within the confines of a police interview suite.
Mm.
David Tennant's in one of them. So.
Ooh.
Yep.
It's definitely on board. I think Mindhunter, I would guess. It sounds very similar to that concept.
I shall add to my list.
It looks really good.
The World According to Jeff Goldblum, Disney Plus, November 12th, documentary series in which Goldblum pulls back the curtain on a seemingly familiar object to reveal a world of astonishing connections, fascinating science, and a whole lot of big ideas. Basically, the show is Let's Get Weird with Jeff Goldblum.
I don't care. It's Jeff Goldblum. I'll watch anything.
I'm in. So in. You guys? Huh?
Does it mean I have to get Disney Plus?
Yeah, you'd have to get Disney Plus, or you can use my password.
Pass.
I have Disney Plus already prepaid for 3 years, so I guess I'll watch it at some point.
Great. Googling 3 years?
It was a special for D23 members that you were able to basically prepay for 3 years, so Disney Plus was only $3.88 a month, yo.
Okay, half stop off. Showing off.
Half off.
I did it too, John.
I know you did. I wasn't going to drag you under the bus with him.
It ended up, I'm like, all right, it's paid off, and now I have to watch The Mandalorian. And plus, I can get Endgame and all those other Marvel things that I don't already own. So, I'm kidding. I already own them all. All right. The last one for new shows for me. It's the only sitcom on my list. I normally don't watch sitcoms. I'm not a big sitcom guy. The Unicorn is on CBS September 26th. And there's only one reason why. And his name is Walton Goggins. He moves into comedy mode as a widowed dad who is catnip to women. Probably because of those choppers. But leery about dating again with a circle of friends prodding him on, including married pals living a little too vicariously through his prospects. It's familiar, but breezy fun, at least in the pilot from what I understand, and it's Walton Goggins. I will check this out. And I don't like sitcoms, but this one, I'm on board.
It's justified.
I just kind of want...
You just fix the guy from...
Damn it.
That was even funnier than I meant.
Yeah, because you didn't know you did it.
That was funny.
Poor Amanda. Wait, I was funny there. Yeah, we know. You weren't trying, were you? No, I didn't.
I got to cut that out. I got to edit that. Can't have that joy in her life.
Whoa.
I'm just kidding.
Back it up, Sally.
Funny. Why? I feel like it's an offensive thing.
Now, we're going to start slapping them around now? What's happening?
Top 3 returning shows. Now, let's just be real quick. You don't have to give a whole description and everything else. Just go through them all at once. John, what are your top 3 returning shows this year?
My top 3 are, it's his final season for Supernatural. I hate to see them go, but I love to see them leave.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a great
way to mess that line completely up.
Yeah, I know. The Flash, also on CW. This comes back on October 8th. And then finally, I'm more interested than I thought I'd ever be in American Horror Story 1984.
Mm.
That comes on September 18th. So by the time you're listening to this, you can watch it.
Doesn't that tie into one of the other seasons?
Mm-mm, not this one. This is the summer camp one.
Oh, is it another one they have planned?
I think it was last year's. That it was like Apocalypse or something like that, where they tied a bunch of them in. I think that's the one you're thinking of. They always tie together in some way. I don't know how it works, but
which I've only seen a couple different seasons of American Horror Story. It's been okay for the most part, but this one, I don't know why, the slasher aesthetic really gets me excited.
Me too. Every time.
In time for horror season. Yeah. For Halloween.
Ooh. People love this show. People love it.
Oh, wait. Johnny, did you go through
Why are you raising your hand? It's a podcast. Nobody can see that.
Yes, I went through all three.
Before I get too far, because I'm next, Netflix is coming out with a bunch of, this is super unrelated, but it's Netflix is coming out with Netflix and Chills. So if you go to Netflix and you look for this like subcategory, it's a bunch of horror movies that they're putting on there. Oh, yeah. And they have some of them that are new there, some of them that are originals. They have a big mixture. So you can check that out if you're excited for Halloween.
Yeah, one of them they just released a preview for today, which was for Grass, I believe it's called. And it's basically what happens every weekend when I mow my lawn.
And the tall grass?
And the tall grass.
Yeah. It's based on a Stephen King story.
Oh, is it?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's going to suck.
Oh, my God.
Just like when you mow your lawn. All right, go ahead, Amanda. What do you got?
All right, so in order, number three, the final season of Good Place on NBC premieres September 24th.
A lot of final seasons this year. Arrow's ending too.
Oh, that's right. Forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Then in second place, we have The Resident on Fox September 26th. And then we have, in first place, of course, one I'm most excited about, Million Little Things is returning on ABC September 26th.
I'm really curious how they can keep that show going.
I guess we'll find out.
Oh, we'll see.
They left me interested for more than season one, and I feel like that's important.
It just feels like a one season kind of show.
Man, but it's the characters. I love the characters, the cast so much that I'm willing to like watch whatever they do.
Just saying.
It doesn't need to make sense.
I miss my friends.
Aww. Hawaii 5-0, that is my comfort food. I love that show, and the new additions to the cast have re-sparked it. I just wish it was on Netflix still, but it's not, so I can't even catch up. I got to go... probably go get a CBS Plus Gmail address or something or have Troy do it so that way I can still pretend like I'm on my high horse. That comes back September 27th on CBS. Castle Rock comes back to Hulu on October 23rd. Love the first season. I'm really curious to see what they do with season two, and it's unrelated. It's a complete anthology like American Horror Story, so that'll be interesting. And also Mr. Robot on USA October 6th. Mm. Final season.
Can't wait. Final season.
Yep. One of the smartest shows on TV, but can be very hard to follow.
I didn't know that you were caught up on that show.
Uh-huh.
Mm, that's a good show.
It is a good show. All right. And Troy, top three returning?
All you got to know about is that the Germans and the Japanese are fighting for the America continent in season three of Men in the High Castle. So things were really, really bad at the end of the season. So season four is coming to finish it off once and for all for the final battle for America, kicking off on November 15th on Amazon Prime. Stream seasons 1 through 3 right now. It comes highly recommended.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. Stop.
I'm not going to use a pun, but I do recommend it. It's a great show.
Thank great you, show. Johnny.
I'm not going to stoop to Troy's level, but I will second that bad recommendation.
Continuing on in Amazon, and actually rather close to it, Jack Ryan goes to South America to investigate a package he tracked into the jungle.
Yes.
In season two, he's going to go to US, UK, Russia, back to Venezuela, all over the place. And guess what? He's doing it and kicking Apple TV Plus and Disney Plus's ass because season two drops on November 1st to compete right along with everybody else.
Hoorah. Yes.
No, like, jacking off pun or anything for that?
I had Jim Halpert kicks Dwight's ass in the second season, but I skipped it.
Not as funny as John's joke, gotta say.
Anything else, Troy?
I'll just go now. That's about the best I'm going to do all night.
I guess we would be remiss if we didn't say that after six seasons of Is He, Isn't He, or Is She, answers are finally coming for agent Elizabeth Keene about just who Raymond Reddington is in the seventh and what Aaron hopes is the final season of The Blacklist. After a big reveal in season five and a few more pieces in season six, audiences are now ready for the epic showdown fans have been waiting for since the beginning. Kicks off on October 4th on NBC, and all six seasons are now streaming on Netflix as of the release of this podcast.
Did they pay you to say that? Feels like they paid you to say that.
I feel
that.
Like you did get some money out of this.
Aaron, so you're going to stick around for The Blacklist for this last season?
He gets paid now.
there's a Patreon. Well, never mind. That helps. That helps. Yeah, I'll be there.
Make it money.
With bells on. I'll talk about The Blacklist a little bit more in a sec.
You're going to be doing it in a good mood for now on?
Hey, I've been doing it in a great mood.
I don't listen. I don't. I'm the wrong person to judge.
Yeah, I would say that as definitely true. And Troy, really, they're gonna give you some answers. Are you sure? Are you sure about that? Because every time I think
final
they give
season,
you some answers,
they're gonna have to.
Don't know it's the final season.
Is Damon involved? Damon's involved at all?
No. Damon Lindelof is not involved. Thanks.
So then we just don't know, as opposed to no, it's not going to be answered.
Can't one of you two just text John Bokenkamp and ask him?
We could.
We're trying.
Yeah. He's not going to tell us.
I mean, you never know.
I mean, I guess I could pull the whole, you know, John, I'm dying. And there's a good chance I don't make it through the season. Can you just tell me exactly who he is? And then I just send it to like Hollywood Reporter.
And retire.
Yeah. I'm done. Troy hates me for life. All right. Now we've come to the final thing that is on our docket for fall TV. Name one former favorite show of yours that needs to end. Now, I'm not saying you can't still like the show, but you feel it needs to end. But before I get there, I got to say, let's take a quick second. You guys mentioned some shows that are coming to an end. John, you talked about Supernatural, but you didn't really jump into it. Do you feel like now is the time to end? That's one of your favorite shows.
It is one of my favorite shows, and it's maintained being one of my favorite shows for years. I think now is a good time to cut it loose because it's, you know, like every other show, it's ebb and flow as far as the story is concerned. And the only reason why people stick around is because you got Jared Padalecki and Jensen Ackles and Misha, whatever Misha's last name is. And people just love those actors and they love the characters they're portraying, and that's the only reason at this point people must be sticking around, because the story, when I subtract my enjoyment of those characters from it, the story is a little wonky at this point. And it's time, I feel like they're on top, I feel like it's time for them to decide to go find something better to do with their time. And yeah, I'm ready for them to finally put a fork in this one.
I hope they give you the ending that fans want, because 15 years, that's a lot of investment. That's like 300 episodes. It's a lot of investment.
It's a lot of work. And again, it's been a fun ride. Even if sometimes the story's been disappointing, even here and there, the ride has always been good.
All right, one show, Amanda. As Troy
this is easy.
Troy likes to call this the die already character.
Yep. This is the same one I picked last
category.
Year. And that is Grey's Anatomy. Please. Stop this show from happening. But I will say, I haven't watched this show. I think season 14 is the last time I watched an episode. So I've missed an entire season plus this new upcoming season. And now they're bringing Alyssa Milano and Holly Marie Combs from Charmed. They're reunited with their executive producers from Charmed. And they're going to have an episode in Grey's Anatomy. So now I have to watch that episode. And I'm really mad about it because the show needs to end. But they got me for an episode. Those bastards.
Last season was the season of love, as we said last year. And it was actually a pretty decent season. But after last season, passing ER with the Mighty Milestone, this should be the final year. The problem is that it still scores above a 2 in the ratings every freaking week.
Yeah,
so it just prints money.
I could still watch this. Like, I could put it on and I would still enjoy watching it, but I had to actually stop myself and take it off of my lists so I didn't watch it, because I know when an addiction is a problem, like when you have a problem and you need to just resolve it.
You're addicted to Grey's Anatomy?
I was.
Oh.
I am in remission. Is that the right word? Do you go in remission from addiction? I don't know.
No, it's not the right word.
Don't know the answer to that question.
I don't believe it's addiction. I think it's a codependent relationship.
That's also probably accurate.
It's unhealthy either way.
I mean,
it is.
It's like Johnny. I've invested long. I have to see it to the end.
But also, they have 2 spinoffs. Let it go already. You have 2 other TV shows that have taken these
4
characters.
Spinoffs, technically.
4?
Yeah, they have the Private Practice was one. Mm-hmm. Station 19 was one. And then there was another one that was like, it's not a spinoff, but it's like the same characters and it's the same story.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't care.
I don't care.
Okay.
All right. Mine is The Blacklist on NBC.
Oh, that show that you do a podcast
I
for?
Do. I do a podcast with Troy, and I'm nicer to him on that one because he's not trying so hard. So it's a show that I love. I do love it. And, well, maybe not the first half of last year. First half of last year was pretty rough. Would you agree, Troy?
First half of last year you liked until the midway point where they negated the entire first half of the season.
And nobody wanted to ask the right questions. Or a question.
A question at all.
Any question. But John Buckingham, actually the creator, did address that in our interview with him at the end of plug, on the Blacklist Exposed, where he actually did address that, okay, you didn't feel that way, and here's what we thought we were doing. Maybe we weren't doing it, whatever. I love the reveal at the end of the year, which I'm not going to spoil because some people probably are still catching up on Netflix. And I hope that we start getting some solid answers because honestly, I am just tired to death of misdirection. Misdirection is probably shooting this show in the foot. And unless they can rejigger the series and give me something fresh, which is always possible. I'm not going to say it's not possible. I want them to go out on top. How many shows have gone longer than 7 years and ended on top? I can't think of many, if any. So to me, where they're at currently feels like this might be the last year, and it probably should be for this kind of show because there is a heavy mythology.
I think the challenge that Aaron is bringing up is the fact that it's not that it's misdirection. What we've probably been shown the entire time is very straightforward. We just choose not to believe what we're told on the show, which then causes like this spiral out of control theories and things that happen.
Didn't you contribute to that?
Yeah, didn't you like help feed that a little bit with your...
But everything was still plausible until it's answered. And as long as you can sit there and plausibly use the clues on the screen to say that this is an answer, then you can very easily step down and say, I was wrong. Here, and then we move forward and just get excited for what's coming next.
There was definitely some toying with fan expectations and
stuff.
But
I think that's
too.
The point of the show. The whole point of the show has always been misdirection.
I understand that. But at some point, it starts to get old. And I think we're at the point where it's not fun anymore. Now it's becoming, okay, now you're just constantly trying to do the same thing. You already did this. You already pulled the wool over my eyes a couple times. Let's get to the point. What is the point? Let's get to the point.
Misdirect me on something else.
Yeah, I just feel like we're at that moment. We're there. Yeah,
we're at that moment. The reveal that happened, I think, leads us on we're at the climax and we're coming into the denouement at this point.
Do you think that they would want it? Like, do you think Bokenkamp and affiliates would want it renewed at this point where they're at writing it? Do you think they would renew it if they felt like they were at a conclusion?
I mean, it is their job. I mean, they get paid and it's a job. And just like where we work, you know, wherever you work, you want to continue to have employment there. So, I mean, I understand that aspect of it. And James Spader's gone on record that he likes the money. So I mean,
and they had a 7-year plan and a 10-year plan.
Allegedly. Yeah.
So they have they had a 10-year plan for the show.
I can tell you, I don't have a 10-year plan. They might have one, but I do not.
Aaron has a 2019 plan.
No show has gone more than 7 years and ended well. And this is a show that, because so much hinges on how it's going to end, everything is building up to the ending. Would you agree with that, Troy?
100%.
Okay. When everything is hinged on how it's going to end, you need to get there and get there in a reasonable amount of time. And I feel like this is a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, I actually just looked up one of the shows that I felt had one of the best endings, and that was Angel, and it did not go 7 years.
5 years.
Yeah.
5 years.
Yeah. And Buffy, on the other hand, went longer. And
Buffy went 7 years.
Great. Yep.
And Buffy should have ended at 5.
Agreed.
They had the best ending when she died.
Yep.
Really did. Yep. Troy, what about you? Show needs to die.
Hold on to your chairs, everybody, because I'm going to say that this is us.
Thank God.
Because
somebody needs to get rid of it.
When the show started, it was a must watch, but then we got the answer on how Jack died in season 2, and I'm like, how can they keep the show going in season 3? And they set up a really great premise when it kicked off at the start of the season, and I was hooked, and I'm like, I'm going to see what the answer is, and I'm going to stay to season 3, and I guessed what that freaking ending was going to be, and if they went to that ending, I said, this is the safe answer, and if they go safe on the show, I'm done. And the problem with season 3 is that the relationships are fake and forced and just didn't feel like my friends in A Million Little Things. Because A Million Little Things felt like real relationships and real problems. And I think maybe I would have liked season 3 better of This Is Us if I didn't have A Million Little Things to fall back on. But season 3 just felt so contrite. And where it landed at the end, I was so pissed off that I wasted the time for exactly where I knew they were going to go.
I haven't been a private message you about that because I'm curious. I stopped watching it. The show was, I loved that show. And then it was when season 3 started, I watched I think I got to the second episode and I was like, this is not great. This is, it was like they had a completely different shift for me. And that's to be expected when they give you the entire show in the first two seasons. Like Troy said, where is that going to go from here? And I don't think it was going anywhere great.
I definitely think Mandy Moore did a fantastic job in season three. Sterling K. Brown is fantastic in everything he does. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just at that point where, you know, it feels contrite.
Call it.
It feels like they're forcing me to cry. Before it was fun. It was like, I just got to get that cathartic release. Now I don't want the cathartic release because you're like toying with my emotions and I get angry about it.
I get that. All right, Johnny, what about you? Show needs to end.
Law & Order SVU. None of the other Law & Order shows are around. It's time for Law & Order SVU to go. It hasn't had the same chemistry ever since Elliot left, which Chris Maloney. And it's time to go. It feels way too gentrified, just like a lot of New York is starting to feel way too gentrified. And it doesn't have that grit to it anymore. It's time for something new.
I like Law & Order SVU.
I'll be honest. I didn't know they still had new episodes coming out. I thought it was all reruns.
That show's, I think, the longest running drama on television currently. Mm-hmm. Or in history, maybe. I think it beat Gunsmoke. So, yeah.
It's probably time for it to be done.
Not.
Oh, perfect.
Finally, you get a pun.
I'm going home.
Finally, you get a pun that works. All right. Good job. I'm proud of you. You've just made up for all the bad ones earlier. Good job. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for the fall TV preview. The Patreon is how you can support the show if you like the show. If you're still here, wow, I give you credit, because honestly, that was a lot of stuff. Our show is independently funded. Therefore, all of our expenses come out of our own pockets, and Patreon helps fans support their favorite podcasts. You do get bonus material. You get bonus episodes. You get Bad Movie Night, which we're going to be doing this week. Deuce Bigelow, Male Jiggle is going to be covered on Bad Movie Night. We have a bonus episode every single month. There's a lot of stuff. If you want to support the show, patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. That's patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. Got two spoiler-free reviews for you. First one up is Hustlers. And every time I say the word, I want to break into iced tea because of New Jack City and the song Hustlers. Word up with the trigger long. Spray my teeth. Grit to every... Okay, sorry. Troy, continue.
Well, this past weekend, it was about strippers, drugs, and lots of money. And it was not a documentary on Congress. No.
Oh, my God. Look at you.
It was a dose of historical fiction called Hustlers, as Aaron mentioned. It does start, and I'm going to do this in my best John impression, if I may. It's going to star Jennifer Chainsmoking Lopez, Constance no longer fresh off the boat woo, Lily to sprouse or not to sprouse? That is the question, Reinhardt. Kiki, I still know how to spell Palmer, and Julia, where the hell have you been, Styles?
I don't know what that has to do with John, but I like it.
Because he does the witty.
Ah, does he?
Usually he does wittier, but that's okay. Just kidding, Troy.
No problem.
I will allow it. He did a pretty good job with all those. And it's something that I do on the half hour power hour.
So Aaron doesn't listen to that is what he's saying.
Right.
He also did it on last year's show for the fall TV preview. So
I did, didn't I?
You did. Anyways, this movie is based off of a real life article that was in New York Magazine. And Aaron and I have very differing opinions on the film.
Yeah.
So Aaron, I will ask you. First and foremost, did Jennifer Lopez make you want to party with her sisters?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, she's a great method actor. I love what she did on stage and on this stage. She does. And for people that I've gotten a lot of messages from people asking me, is she naked? Which is a weird thing to ask somebody about the quality of a film. The answer is no, but she does a great job dancing regardless. I think that's just a weird question to ask people, but whatever. She's gotten rave reviews. Oscar buzz? No. I don't agree with that. I don't think she was that good, but she was impressive, and she carries the movie. I mean, Constance Wu is the star, but she's grossly overshadowed by J-Lo.
I've heard that opposite.
What?
That Wu outshined Lopez.
I don't know who said that, but they are drunk.
I've seen it a few times in reviews.
Well, that's thoughts. Some bad reviews. Troy, would you agree with that?
Well, I don't know. That was my next question, because if we piece two and two together... The famed Constance Wu tweet earlier this year mm-hmm. probably is tied directly into her work on this film. So are you all about the Wu, Aaron?
She did fine, but she was way overshadowed by Jennifer Lopez.
I think it was the longing stares and the weepy and the cry and, oh my gosh, my kid. And It was the same tone the entire movie.
Yes, she felt very one note to me. I mean, she wasn't bad. I don't think she was bad by any.
Yeah, acting was great. She did fine. It just was one tone.
Yep.
Because Lopez outshined her.
I feel like every time Lopez was on stage, man, I was in, and I don't mean on the stage. I mean, yes, every time she was on the stage, I was definitely, I was in the film. But she was just this character. She was an enigmatic character. She was very, but also very relatable. She was down to earth. She was Jenny from the block. I mean, she really took charge every time she entered a scene. She reminded me, because this movie reminds me a lot of Goodfellas with strippers. So she reminds me a lot of when Robert De Niro would walk into a scene and he would just own it. That's how she felt. Like, she walked in, Constance Wu was a star, and you're paying attention. I mean, she was interesting to watch. But Jennifer Lopez walks in, and it's like, I just forgot everybody else was in this movie because she's that good. That's how I saw it.
Plus, Lily Reinhart made you sick because you're eating popcorn and she's throwing up the whole time.
She does throw up a lot in the movie, which is weird. She was good, but she does nothing. Yeah.
Cole Sprouse, if you're listening, be careful what you're kissing there.
Didn't they break up?
They're back together.
Oh, I did not know about this hot gossip.
We don't care about this stuff on this show.
Troy does.
No, we don't care on this show about that nonsense.
John was going to say something.
No, I said, what are you guys talking about? Because this just sounds stupid. Stop it.
What's your answer?
Let's have the Battle Royale then with Aaron, because the movie is technically based off of an article in a magazine. So my stance was that the article should have been more of the focus of the movie, and the reporter, the character, should have been more of the focus of the film. So Aaron, we had a conversation about this. So I'm going to say it another way. Do you think the movie would have stood on its own if we just completely got rid of the reporter character altogether?
Yeah, I don't think it was needed. What they do is they basically frame the movie as the reporter is talking to Constance Wu's character, and she's recounting the events, and then it goes back in time and you get the story caught up that way. I don't really feel like it was even needed to have the reporter character. We could have just watched the story progress in a linear fashion. And I think it probably would have been much more, the movie is enjoyable, but it would have been more enjoyable and made more sense, would have had more flow, and you wouldn't have lost the pacing. Because I think every time you went back to the reporter, it kind of lost a little bit of its pacing. You know what I mean?
Absolutely agree. That was my biggest challenge with it, was that I felt like it was just, yeah, the pacing was weird because it felt like it was chunky edited.
Right.
Like, yeah, this chunk and this chunk and this chunk, and they had to transition between the chunks versus just telling a smooth story. And it even sets it up, like, if you didn't know anything about the article, when Constance Wu starts her opening narration, you know she's talking to somebody, whether it's a cop or a reporter or something.
Right.
But you never see the reporter for 30 minutes. And that was my issue. It was like, if it's about the article and the reporter, like, it would have been really cool to focus more on the reporter hustling these women to get the story so that she could have her big break. Because there's a really great line at the end of the movie, which I think would have landed differently personally. But
I do agree with that. I mean, the way that they did it, it was distracting in a way. So I can kind of see what you're saying with that.
Yeah.
And Cardi B, by the way, horrible.
Horrible. Horrible. She's so horrible because I thought she was actually Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
I turned to my wife. I was like, that's Nicki Minaj. And she's like, that's totally Nicki Minaj. And then we had to look it up after to find out that it was Cardi B.
Just a bad.
Did she do her Okar?
Yeah, she's Okar. Just a bad actor.
Tracy turned over to me and said, I cannot wait to watch this with subtitles so I can figure out what the hell she actually said in that scene.
Yeah, it's hard to understand her.
Cardi B was Cardi B.
She was very much Cardi B, but just not good at acting. Dancing. But she did this professionally. So, I mean, I hope she's good at it. She helped teach them how to do it.
Yeah. Right?
So, overall, Hustlers, what do you give it, Aaron?
$10 the full price of admission. I give it $6.50. What would you give it?
Yeah, that's about right. It was six.
Where do you land on the Oscar talk? There's a lot of Oscar talk for Jennifer Lopez.
No, there's got to be way better stuff than this that's coming out yet.
Yeah. But she was good. Would you agree? Like, she's the highlight.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, 100%. Lopez definitely. I mean, the problem is that she's the star. It's hard to tell because the story is given to us by Constance Wu's character talking to the reporter. So does that make Jennifer Lopez the supporting actress, or does that make her the lead actress? I could see a supporting actress nomination. I can't see a lead actress nomination.
Well, she is technically a supporting actress. Constance Wu is technically the star of the movie.
Yeah, if that's the case, then yeah, I could see her getting a supporting actress nom.
But she, well, yeah, because she overshines Constance Wu every time she's on stage. It's pretty weird.
A lead actress nom? No, not at all. And the movie won't get it. Man, the movie might get a nom because of the story.
No. I mean, it's getting great reviews, but Oscar buzz is a little too much hype for my liking.
It's not even Oscar season yet.
Yeah.
Well, it's always Oscar season.
It's always Oscar season. We're starting to get the Joker's getting Oscar buzz, so you just never know. All right.
That actually looks interesting from everything I've seen.
We'll find out. Unbelievable is an 8-episode series. It's currently on Netflix. Amanda and I both watched it. We're just going to talk about this real brief. Merritt Weaver, Caitlin Dever, and Toni Collette in a story about tracking down a serial rapist and the effects on a victim who nobody believes. Amanda, there are two stories here. The woman victimized over again. Basically, she was allegedly assaulted and then by the police when they don't believe her, and the cops fighting to save future victims. It's very True Detective in that it bounces back and forth in time because the detectives come into effect 2 years after the alleged rape initially on Marie Adler. Now it starts in 2010 and bleeds into 2011. So Marie Adler's story about an alleged rape victim who was not believed. What did you think of this portion of the story? And this is all based on a true story. And I looked into it, by the way, very close to the true event.
So I did as
very
well.
Little was dramatized. How do you feel like they handled this portion of the story, especially how they showcased how a rape victim feels when having to relive their crime over and over and over as they tell the police?
Well, it was amazing the way that they showed that to you, but it also helped give you a little bit of insight to what the investigators and the police think and feel and their response to those things, because you get moments alone with them talking together about how they're interpreting and perceiving her response to be, especially people that don't seem to be experienced and taught how to trained effectively in dealing with these situations. And so we get to see the flip side of that, of an investigator who knows what they're doing, knows how to handle these circumstances. Of course, it's a woman who's obviously experienced traumas before. The two of them seem to have either their own personal experiences or living through working with these other trauma victims. They know how to handle it. And so the entire experience is completely different, the way that a police officer approaches it. And I think what makes a big difference is they kind of show you how other people don't really get, other victims don't really get accused of lying and believed that what they're telling them isn't true. Whereas when it comes to assault victims, there's constant disbelief of whether what they're saying is true or not.
Or at least in this time period.
Yeah, well, I would still say to this day. But I still think that that's really important for them to show both sides of the story and give you an experience that this is how this woman was feeling, and this, not that it justifies the inexperience and untraining of these investigators, these police officers and detectives, but it helps you at least see their perspective in somewhat of a way to understanding.
Yeah, I was actually pretty impressed because they go into, Caitlin Dever plays Marie Adler, and the entire first episode is her story. It's like what happened to her after she talked about the rape that happened to her, if it happened, because for a while we don't even know whether or not it happened. You know, we're kind of, as the audience, they give you enough to where you can see where the police are coming from to a degree, which is sad because it puts you in the shoes of someone looking at, well, I can kind of see where they're coming from, but I don't agree with what they did. I mean, there are different ways to do it. They get a tip based on her past behavior, which has nothing to do with this event. And they give it way too much weight, which they did in the real case. So you get to see a lot of that. And you also, man, Caitlin Dever does a great job of putting you in the headspace of here's what it is like for someone to have to relive this event over and over and over again and how that trauma affected them. I think she just did a wonderful, wonderful job.
Well, and they also don't have, it shows you that the way the process was developed at that time in 2008 was not effective for victims in any capacity, because it was, okay, we need you to run through this like 8 times before we can conclude,
which
even just
time,
the initial.
Relive.
Versus when you fast forward to after they've kind of had more experience and
with
making
more
their
experienced
process.
Detectives.
Yeah. Right. Well, and having an effective process that allows you to just intake the information in one or two settings and not making them relive it for days or weeks or multiple times with multiple different people when they don't trust anybody at this point. So,
and you learn that people can remember things differently the more they tell them because they're traumatized. Trauma has that effect. The two detectives are played by Merritt Weaver from Godless and Toni Collette. And their story is actually, like I said, starts a couple of years and it bleeds over to 3 years after Marie's. as they chase down a serial rapist, which may or may not be connected. Now, these two, this is where it gets very True Detective, because you're following them as they try to track down this rapist. What did you think about these two?
Oh, my God. Okay, so Toni Collette is somebody that I've admired her work because of United States of Terra. I thought she was phenomenal in that. She had a lot of range, and so I've always enjoyed watching her performances. I never expected this other actress to outshine Toni Collette, and it was certainly a TV show where it was like, Caitlin Dever and Toni Collette are the stars of it. Merritt Weaver, 100%, is the best thing about this show for me.
Hmm.
She outshined every single person that existed. I felt like the way that she handled her character and the things that other things I've seen her in, this is the best thing I've seen her in. I want a detective show with her. And I also feel like this is exactly the way that it should be handled. The entire demeanor of the detective who makes these women feel safe and calm and like they're in a safe
space. Never gets emotional, never gets loud, never gets angry. She really is monotone, and it's intended.
Yeah, and she makes me, like, when I watch this, I just wanted her to give me a really big hug because she's so calming. She makes you feel like you're in a really safe space. As a detective, I feel like that's really strange because usually we're a little apprehensive to law enforcement in general and, like, are we going to get in trouble for anything we say? Or you're kind of trepidatious.
Are we or are you?
I don't know. I don't know.
What have you done?
Can't talk about that here. But she made me feel, as an audience member, she made me feel, and mm-hmm. she made me feel different things. And usually it reduced my anxiety. So I always have some level of anxiety, and I felt so calm just watching her character.
I'm more of the Toni Collette variety.
She's crazy, though.
She made everything better for me. I mean, the show's very intense, and it's very hard to watch, and I do recommend it. Unbelievable. It's a great show. Toni Collette, as soon as she gets on the stage, I just feel like it's a different level. I feel like she's on a different level than everybody else. And she just woke the show up for me. She's engaged. And Merritt Weaver is great. I'm not taking that away from that. I'm just saying Toni Collette, for me, was a real powerhouse. And she's much more forceful. It's a much more in-your-face performance, where mm-hmm. Merritt Weaver is much more subdued and, like you said, very calming. So the one thing that I loved about this show is they never get into – it's really not about the perpetrator at all. They don't care about him. It's not about his story. It's very, 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 very minimally focused on him other than the crime itself. So we don't get a whole lot of when they've whatever happens down the road, we're not getting a lot of that particular person's story. It's about Marie Adler and her story and the detectives and their story. And I like that because it was a nice way to focus on.
They help form the characteristics, though, of this person, which I really appreciated, because I don't think a lot of us, when we think of somebody who could do something this horrific and this many times, you don't really picture them to be what they turn out to be mm-hmm. oftentimes. And they are really good about disclosing to you that this is an everyday person that you wouldn't expect, which happens in most crimes, that it's the person that you don't expect. And so that was really nice that they're giving.
We need to start suspecting the people we don't suspect.
Suspect everybody.
Yep.
But they give you enough of the characteristics of this person to treat them as a criminal, versus a lot of times when you have stuff like this, it's getting into the mind of the criminal, which I still appreciate on a psychological level, but this is very different and this is not what the show should be about. Mm-hmm. And so I can respect that and appreciate it. And I think one thing that's really important too is they are never overtly graphic in nature about the assaults that happen. Everything is very shadowed, because they give it to you from the perspective of victims.
The victims, yeah.
And they don't go into too much detail. So you don't have to witness the violent, graphic nature that most rape and assault shows and movies right. put you through. So it's not as traumatizing for people to experience.
So if $10 is the full price of admission, what do you give this show? Or full price for Netflix, I guess. what do you give Unbelievable?
I'm going to give this $9.
I would probably concur. Yeah, $9 sounds good.
Super
great
solid.
Show. Great yeah. show. I want to see these cops come back in a True Detective form where
Me
they're
too.
Investigating some other unbelievable case. Give new names if you need to. I don't care.
You have it as like a season two, though? Or would you have it be a whole new show or like a spinoff with a different name?
You could still call it Unbelievable. Just an unbelievable case. Just have them basically play the same detectives and they're looking at a different. I mean, because these aren't the names of the detectives on that specific case. Mm-hmm. So And you do get a lot of police work in this. Like, it's real actual, like, what it means, running down leads and the hundreds and hundreds
and
of
how obnoxious and time-consuming it can all be. Yeah. Not everything. Also, yeah. I love that the tech in it is never obnoxious, because it's not like, oh, we've got everything right here. We've got it. We've got it. We just typed in a few
things.
You
can zoom in. Well, we can't do that. Can't really clear that up, because that's a thing in TV that just annoys the crap out of me. You can't actually make a picture clearer.
Yeah, you can enhance it and just have all of the numbers show up.
Oh my god, it's an HD now. That's not how that works. All right, let's go to new releases real quick. What's coming out in theaters on September 20th? We've got Ad Astra. That's Brad Pitt, and he's, I think, searching for his daddy in space. Downton Abbey is finally getting its movie. People are loving it. If you watch the show, go see it. If you didn't watch the show, they say you might get some information that'll help you enjoy it. I don't know. Sure, give it a shot if you're into that thing. Rambo Last Blood. This is the last, maybe, not sure, Rambo movie that we're going to get. I don't know. It's Sylvester Stallone. He's constantly talking about rebooting himself. He's rebooting Cobra with Robert Rodriguez. He's trying to talk Kurt Russell into doing another Tango and Cash. Stallone, I get it, man, but let's do some new stuff. That's what I would say. What else is coming out, guys?
We have Bloodline on 9/20. Bloodline, Evan, who's played by Sean William Scott, values family above all else, and anyone who gets between him, his wife, his newborn son, learns the hard way. But when it comes to violent tendencies, it seems the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Again, Sean William Scott, Mariela Garriga, looks like a lot of fun.
Is this any relation to the story of the Netflix television show? That sounds similar.
No.
None at all.
No?
No, not even close.
Nope.
Then we have Augie coming on VOD on the 20th as well. After he is forced into an early retirement, a man's relationship with his wife and daughter becomes strained when he falls in love with an augmented reality companion.
Hmm.
I mean, we've all been there, right? Robot.
Well, I think this is the winner for the upcoming week, because Between Two Ferns is back. Yes, Zach Galifianakis. He has the most amazing interview show on funnierdie.com. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend you watch a couple of these. It is so great. He asks really random and usually pretty inappropriate questions during the course of the thing. And most of the celebrities are in on the gag, but the Bruce Willis episode, I swear Bruce Willis has no idea what is going on. And it's so painful to watch, but yet so awesomely funny. And so what basically is the premise of the movie coming, Between Two Ferns, the movie, is that Will Ferrell actually finds all of these interviews that Zach Galifianakis had. He's the one that uploaded them to funnierdie.com. And because of that, Zach became a viral laughing stock of the entire universe. So Zach and his crew are taking a road trip to complete a series of high profile celebrity interviews to restore his reputation. I can't recommend it enough. It's super funny. The President Obama episode is fantastic. It's just so, it's so good. You have to check it out. Between Two Ferns, the movie, hits on the 20th of September on Netflix.
All right. What's everybody's pick of the week, Amanda? What are you picking out of all those?
I'm going with Bloodline. I like Sean William Scott. I'm cool with Vigilantes. I want to check it out.
I'm obviously going Rambo. John, what do you want?
It's a tough call. I know I'm going to go see Ad Astra because I just made plans with all my friends to go see a movie. That's the one they picked. I'm going to say Bloodline.
Good choice.
Troy?
I like space. So, because I have to get my, you know, $20 worth of my AMC pseudo movie pass, I have to go see that. And then I will watch the Two Ferns movie for sure.
I don't like that show. You gave all that praise and I didn't want to like throw my two cents in because I don't want to be a negative Nelly, but that.
But now you're putting your two cents in.
Zach Galifianakis, just freaking go away, Zach Galifianakis. I'm done with you. I'm just done with you. You haven't been funny since Hangover 2. Bye. Get out.
Harsh.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Is that too rough strong? Critic.
That too strong? I don't know. All right, what would have happened? This is a game we're going to play as we close the show out, where Troy is going to give us a what would have happened scenario. As in, what would have happened if Thor had control of the Infinity Gauntlet? Something like that. And the rest of us are going to offer our theory on what would have happened after that. So Troy, what are you throwing at us? What's your scenario?
I thought this would be appropriate because I know how much Amanda loves Tom Cruise. And we just got the most awesome trailer for Top Gun Maverick, releasing June 2020 in theaters. I got paid to say that.
By who?
So
Scientology.
I want to know what would have happened if Iceman died instead of Goose.
Oh. Oh, well, there'd be no more volleyball games. That's for sure.
Hmm.
Interesting. I think Maverick would have had a much happier existence, and they would have Maverick would have been gunned down because he would have been too cocky when they went to take out those MiGs. So they both would have died.
Yeah,
because
he wouldn't have had that whole being Czech situation of losing Goose and basically having losing Goose being his entirely his fault. So yeah, it'd be he would have just gone off all half cocked and ended up getting him and Goose killed anyways.
I was thinking it'd be more like somehow Iceman dies because of Maverick, and he's trying to deal with that struggle and that pain and whatever happened there, and it's Goose that actually has to get him to get out of that funk and get back in the cockpit.
Let me offer you an alternative. What if it's Maverick that dies? And then
this is like Detective Pikachu, where all of a sudden.
And then Goose and Iceman, they live just fine.
Huh.
How about that?
Sounds like an
Wait a minute, maybe they faked his death. And or how about they faked somebody else's death, but that one doesn't hold any water whatsoever.
Oh, stop it. I see what you're doing.
I don't at all.
Detective Pikachu.
I don't understand.
Okay, never mind.
It's a whole bit from the movie, and it was the one funny thing from that movie, and it stuck in my head.
I don't want to peek a peek at anything.
Don't remember that part, but I think Maverick dying would kind of ruin the chances of Top Gun 2 Maverick.
Uh-oh.
Wow. Well, we got to kill everybody else's childhood.
You guys all enjoy right. your
any,
Top Gun.
Any recent film or TV recommendations we haven't already talked about?
I'll say I had the summer of Suck. So for John, who loves his like, you know, dark, gruesome, you know, state that he always gets in that he talks about, I watched.
My what?
You hate all those shows that make you all sad and grumpy and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So I took the bullet for you as your friend.
Thank, I appreciate it.
I don't think you guys are friends.
I watched the depressing third season of The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, God.
Followed by a really riveting and beautifully shot and gorgeous, oh, my God, cinematography. But yet horrific 6 episodes of Euphoria, or 8 episodes of Euphoria on HBO. And then I went right into 13 Reasons Why. So I had the August of Suck in my TV watching.
Did you just need more snuggling?
I did. So I finished Voltron, Legendary Defender on Netflix, which was amazing. It was so good.
I love how they hinted to the vehicle Voltron at the end.
It was so great. So good. I was waiting the whole time, and they had those little MiFi ships or whatever they were, and I'm like, they're going to form the vehicle Voltron. It's going to be so good.
Yeah, they just made a hint to it. It was pretty good. I can't wait to see what else they do for Netflix.
I also saw Ready or Not, and it was amazing. I thought it was great.
I laughed. Yeah, it was good.
It was awesome. The ending is so like totally like, what the hell just happened? And you just laugh out loud.
I finally saw Aladdin. That was good.
Oh, yay.
Wasn't that like one of the best adaptations that they've done?
I would say, yeah, it was pretty good. I really enjoyed it. There was a couple times on the plane when I was watching it that I actually laughed out loud, and like I scared my seatmate a few times. Well, I'm pretty sure they were trying to sleep, and here I am laughing at 4 in the morning. But it was really good. I did watch Detective Pikachu, and oddly enough, at 5 in the morning, it's a great movie. What else did I watch? I watched X-Men Days of whatever crappiness, not the Days of Future Past, but the one that came the most recent one, Dark Phoenix. That finally put me to sleep on the plane, weirdly enough.
Oh boy.
I like that.
Well,
one.
That's not a good reveal.
I liked it.
That's because it ended that arc. That's why it was good.
I enjoyed it. I just thought it was good. As a standalone X-Men movie, I enjoyed it.
Like the Fox scrolls started showing up and I went.
All right, Amanda, what about you?
I screened a film called Always in Season. It's an award-winning Sundance documentary, and it's about the examination of the impact of lynching today. And that was a very brutal documentary to watch. While I think it still needs some work to the structure of it and the focus, the content was still really impactful, and I feel like that's something that people should watch, especially because these are things that they're not teaching you in history, but that you should know, especially if you're a white person and the impact that you have and your history has on, you know, black culture and black people. So I think it's really important for people to watch that, and it was really good.
What's the name of it?
Always in Season.
Is that out yet?
It is in theaters September 27th.
Gotcha.
So
that sounds, if you're looking for a intense time, that's what that sounds like.
It is, yeah.
All right, I already talked about everything I watched, so we're going to move on from that. You can comment on this episode in your Facebook group, which is The Hollywood Outsider, and Twitter, we're at BuyPopcorn. Enjoy our new logo that John designed, or hate it, whichever way you lean, because, you know, traditionalists or purists, they might not like that there's a change, but there's a change.
But that's your fault, not John's.
It happened.
Nobody asked me to make the thing, so technically it's my fault.
That's true. Subscribe to the podcast and whatever your favorite podcast app is. You can find John's artwork on Insta and everywhere else at rjohndraws, Amanda on Veronica's Marshmallows, Troy on The Blacklist Exposed, and me on Smirk. Thanks for being here, Troy.
Absolutely. I'll see you in 2 weeks when The Blacklist starts October 4th.
You hope.
On NBC.
You never know. I might quit before it starts.
Oh, my God.
You never can tell.
You never know what's going to happen. John, thanks for coming back, by the way.
Are you really mean that?
No, not at all. Remember, the next time you head to the theater, the Rambo by Popcorn. That was a really bad Rambo I had there.
I guess didn't have enough Stallone in it for a Rambo coming out.
Seriously, why didn't you narrate some of it?
Narrate some of what?
Some of the episode in
next week. There will be a review with Sylvester Stallone.
Okay.
I mean, are you going to be able to pull that kind of weight?
I think I could make it happen. Yeah. Yeah, I think I can make it happen. I think so. I think you're in for a surprise next week.